Again, there in just a moment, we're going to really look at a couple of Psalms tonight, very briefly, and just ask ourselves just a couple of questions in reference to that and see what we can gain from that. Glad to see you. Several of you were with us an hour prior to this when we remembered Brenda Queen, and I certainly appreciate your gathering for that. Appreciate Brenda's life. Appreciate all the good that she did for us here. Some of her family are still with us, and we're glad to have them, but we're certainly grateful for Brenda and the memories that we have of her. I wanted to, I failed to mention this morning, and I fully intend to do that. Brother R.J. Stevens, who many of you know, passed away this weekend. Brother R.J. had fallen, if I'm not mistaken, earlier in the week, and just could not overcome that this time. And he had been in the hospital several times over the past year or so, and he just could not overcome it this time. But we certainly remember his family in our prayers. And we're thankful that that we had an opportunity to get to know him and be involved with him. He did a lot of good for a lot of people. And especially he was a great preacher of the gospel, but he was also led singing and led it quite well and encouraged people in that way. So we remember him, remember Tim and that whole family in our prayers, and just ask that God would certainly watch over them. But it's good to be with you tonight. As I said, I just want to look at a couple of Psalms tonight. I want you to begin by turning to Psalm 73. And I want us to look at that, and I want us to ask ourselves the question that I believe the psalmist asked, Asaph asked. This is his psalm. He wrote 12 psalms, and this is one of his. And I want to read these first 16 verses. I'd like for you to follow along, and I'd like for you to think about Asa's thoughts as he writes this and as he says this. I want you to think about what he's asking, because there is certainly inequity, injustice, and unfairness in the world. And I want you to think about how he asked this question. He says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace, and violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued, and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me." The psalmist says that when he considers things that are going on in the world, there are inequities and there are injustices. And I think sometimes that's difficult for those who are God's people to really to deal with. We ask, why do the wicked prosper? And as Asaph would say in this psalm that we just read, he was very concerned about that. He asked that question. Why is it that apparently the wicked do prosper and they have much, and they have many times more than I do, those of us who are trying to be righteous? Job would say it this way in Job 21. I love what he says. Beginning in verse 7 of Job 21, he asks some of the same questions and deals with the same things. "Why do the wicked live and become old? Yes, become mighty in power. Their descendants are established with them in their sight, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull breeds without failure. Their cow calves without miscarriage. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They sing to the tambourine and harp and rejoice to the sound of the flute. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Yet they say to God, 'Depart from us. For we do not desire the knowledge of your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we have if we pray to him? Indeed, their prosperity is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me.'" He asked those questions. And many times I think we ask those questions because we're concerned about what's going on in our world. We see the wicked prosper. We see everything that they do. And I love the way Job asks some of those questions. He gets very practical about that. Even their cows are not subject to miscarriage. And of course, that's a perception that he has. In Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, Jeremiah would say it this way. And these are all really prophets of God and spokesmen of God who are asking the same question. Chapter 12 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's questions are, "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you, yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal treacherously? You have planted them, yes, they have taken root. They grow, yes, they bear fruit. You are near in the mouth, but far from their mind." Well, I've skipped around a lot simply tonight to show you that this question is asked by a lot of people. And I think it's asked by us. Why is it that those who apparently are interested in simply doing unrighteousness, why is it that they prosper? Why are they having the success that apparently they're having? And what I think we need to understand is that we have to look at it from God's perspective. If you go back to Psalm 73, and if you look, I stopped in verse 16, but I want you to notice verse 17 of Psalm 73, where the psalmist would say, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." When I look at things from my own perspective, I have the same questions that Jeremiah had, that Job had, that Asaph had, that David had. I have those questions. But when I look at it from God's perspective, and when I look at it and see that ultimately He's going to take care of this, that's the perspective that I ought to have. And Asaph says, "I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end." Sometimes it takes us looking at it from God's standpoint to really understand what it is that God wants us to know. So let me suggest to us that we turn to Psalm 37 and notice what David would say as he talks about how do you handle that? How do you deal with those kind of things? I want you to look in Psalm 37. David offers what I think are four duties of a godly man. And I just want to mention these two briefly to you tonight, and then the lesson will be yours. But I want you to think about what the psalmist said. David would say in Psalm 37 and verse 1, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers or iniquity." So he says, first of all, don't fret. Don't worry too much about the wicked when they prosper. It's the nature of mankind. It's the nature of living in the world that some men will prosper who are wicked, some men will prosper who are righteous. But don't worry about too much about that. And for sure, he says, don't be envious of those who do prosper. In other words, don't see the fact that they're prospering and think that because they are unrighteous, that they are wicked, that's because they're prospering. That's certainly not the case. And David would remind us that we should not be envious because their end is sure. Their end is certain. And verse 3 and 5. Notice what he says in Psalm 37. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness." In verse 5. "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass." We have to be people who trust in God. And Christians can have peace of mind because they do trust in God. I may not understand all the answers to those things. I may look at why some people prosper who are wicked, and I may ask the question, why is that? But what God says is, you just trust in me, and you can have the peace of mind that you need. Let me mention a third thing, if I may. I want you to look in Psalm 37. I'm going to read several verses, but I want you to think about what the psalmist says. He says, you need to wait patiently, because ultimately their end will be their end. And it will be what justice demands. Look at beginning in verse 2, and just follow along with me if you would as I read these particular verses. Psalm 37 and verse 2. This is talking about what's going to happen, that God will certainly extend justice. Look at Psalm 37, 2. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb." Look at verse 9. "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more." Look at verse 15. "Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken." Verse 17. "For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous." Verse 20. "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away." I have been young. This is verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Look at verse 36. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. And then finally, verse 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. One thing I know about God is that he will extend justice as justice is deserved. And I don't say that because I'm anxious that those who aren't serving him and those who are wicked will be given what's deserved. I'm not saying because I'm anxious about that, but because he is a just God, that will be extended to them. And righteousness will be extended to those who honor him and who serve him. And sometimes as we look in our lives, that's difficult for us because we want what's coming to them so quickly. We want what they deserve to come to them so quickly. Sometimes the punishment is not immediately meted out. We have to be careful about that. And look in verse in chapter 37. Just look, just one more thing tonight I want to call to your attention. Look in verse 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. When it comes to looking at what's happening to those who are wicked and as they prosper, one thing that the Lord would suggest to us is that we need to do good. Verse 34 tells us this. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. If I wait on the Lord, if I honor him as I should, while everything in my life, there may be inequities, there may be unfairness, there may be injustice, but when I look at it from God's perspective, when I go into the sanctuary of God and I say, God, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to do good. When I do that, I'm doing what God asked me to do. And I don't worry about the things over which I have no control. Well, folks, that's the lesson of the hour. Short and sweet, I hope, and maybe beneficial as well. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel, we offer the Lord's invitation. If you need to respond to that invitation, we ask that you would come as we stand and as we sing.
While the light from the throne shines for you and me, let us list to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us heed the call of love. On the road to the goal, burdens we must bear.